track three, and now we come to the first of our stories. 25 years ago, 8-year-old Heather Preen died from E. coli poisoning after a family holiday to Dawlish Warren. Her family believe her death was the result of her coming into contact with raw sewage on the Blue Flag Beach. And now, decades later, the tragedy has formed part of the factual drama Dirty Business, which aired on Channel 4 earlier this week. Based on a decade-long investigation into England's privately owned water companies who made fortunes while pumping untreated sewage in England's seas and rivers, the programme investigated one of the biggest potential corporate scandals in British history. The hard-hitting and poignant three-part series proved to be a damning indictment of water companies and the Environment Agency, and is likely to stir up even more anger over the ongoing problems of filthy water. The Preen story may be more than 25 years ago, but comes as South West Water is nearing completion of a multi-million pound scheme in Dawlish aimed at improving water quality. Heather was admitted to hospital, but her parents agreed to switch off life support machine after she suffered brain damage and kidney failure. She was one of four primary cases of E. coli 0157 contracted at the resort in 1999, linked by the fact that all four people visited the same beach on the same day the inquest at Tynmouth was told. The Preens believe Heather's death was the result of her coming into contact with raw sewage. The inquest heard in the days before the family's holiday, there had been 14 complaints to the Environment Agency about sewage on Dawlish Warren Beach. There was also evidence from others hospitalised by E. coli 0157 who'd been on the beach at the same time. Following Heather's death, her parents' marriage didn't survive, and her father, Mark, later took his own life. Her mum, Julie Morn, described her daughter's death like a bomb going off in the family, but years later agreed to take part in the programme, saying over time it felt as if Heather had been forgotten. South West Water responded to the drama, saying the source of Heather's infection was never established. A spokesman said, "The loss of a child is devastating, and we recognise the lasting impact this has had on those close to her." At the time, there was an extensive and multi-agency investigation involving public health authorities, the Environment Agency, and other relevant bodies. Despite intensive investigations, no cause for the outbreak was identified. South West Water says the inquest documentation confirmed that no definitive source of infection was established. More than 100 environmental and sewer samples were taken as part of the investigation. Spokesman continued, "The specific strain of E. coli involved in the case was not identified in samples taken from the sewer network. Despite the thorough and intensive nature of the investigation, no sufficient evidence was found linking the illness to storm overflow activity or bathing water quality. The circumstances of wastewater infrastructure and regulation in the late 1990s were very different from today. Since then, significant investment, including through the Clean Sweep programme, which put waste treatment in for the first time in Dawlish after decades without it. We understand that revisiting of historic events through dramatisation can raise difficult questions. It is important any discussion reflects the findings of the formal investigations carried out at the time. Our focus remains on protecting public health, safeguarding bathing waters, and continuing to improve environmental performance."
New unit at Langdon Hospital wins Care Award. A new specialist unit at Langdon Hospital in Dawlish has won a prestigious award. The Brook, a 10-flat block for patients with learning disabilities and autism, won the Best Specialist Care Design category at this year's Healthcare Design Awards. It was completed by construction company Kia earlier this year and has been designed specifically to care for individuals with learning difficulties and or autistic people for whom, even with reasonable adjustments, the environment of a mainstream hospital cannot provide optimal care and treatment for their acute mental health needs. Specialist design features include wide curved circulation routes within the building with seating nooks and window seats to support gradual transitions between spaces. External corridors offer discrete movement options and emergency access without disruption to other areas of the facility. The finished project provides therapeutic environments with a strong focus on connections with the outdoors to support patient well-being. Designing for neurodiversity was crucial to the project's success, and it was critical that the design of the Brook was flexible enough to cater for a mixed patient group without detriment to any patient. It was also key that there was no one-size-fits-all approach, and that each individual's experience and sensory needs, which can vary enormously. 10 individual patient flats are provided at the Brook, each containing a living dining space, bedroom ensuite and private garden. There are also communal day spaces, treatment and therapy rooms, visitor facilities and staff spaces, all arranged around a series of gardens and courtyards. Doug Lloyd, Regional Director at Care Construction Western and Wales, said, "We are proud to have played a part in delivering the Brook, a facility that truly reflects the needs of its patients. This shortlisting is a testament to the collaborative effort and shared commitment to creating a therapeutic, inclusive environment that will make a real difference to people's lives."
Council boosts budget for roads and children's services. Roads and Children's Services will receive a major cash injection in the first budget of Devon County Council's new administration. The County Council's Cabinet revealed last week that highways will receive an additional £15 million in 2026-27. This will fund preventative maintenance, resurfacing and patching. On top of that, £4 million of additional revenue funding will be spent on highway drainage improvements and other preventative works. Under the budget, the Council also intends to invest £268 million in services for children and young people, an increase of just over £19 million. This covers support for children in care, early help for families, education services and improved fees and allowances to foster carers. Funding also includes £69 million for SEND support, with an additional £600,000 investment in SEND to speed up 20-week education, health and care plans. Schools and SEND services also receive a separate ring-fenced grant of £843 million. The Council also reaffirmed its commitment that no libraries are closing. It will restore the book fund to £500,000 by adding £225,000 to it. There will also be £425,000 to support general library delivery, and plans were announced to establish a £1 million reserve for libraries and rural hubs to support genuine transformation and community-led improvement. Councillor James Butchkowski, and I apologise if I've mispronounced his name, Cabinet Member for Finance, said, "We said we would deliver change. This budget delivers that change responsibly, sustainably and with a long-term view for Devon. We are strengthening our commitment to children, young people and the most vulnerable. On highways, Devon's roads have taken a battering. After years of underfunding and managed decline, this investment will improve how we manage schemes, how we communicate with communities and how we hold delivery to account. It's not just about spending more, it's about doing it properly." The Council also plans to spend £396 million on integrated adult social care. This will support older people and adults with disabilities to live safely and independently. In order to manage these budgets, the County Council's council tax precept will rise by 4.99%. This represents an additional £89.91 for 2026-27 for Band D properties. And this article is supported by an exciting picture of two men filling a pothole.